Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Okay, as I said last week, we will lay out in more detail the conflict between the natural and the spiritual. But make no mistake, my friend, there is a war going on inside of us for our soul. Yes, there is a great division, and yes, there is a great distinction, but there is also a great conflict warring in our minds and in our bodies for our soul. Now, the battlefields are our mind first and then our heart. Let me say that again. The battlefield first is our mind and then our heart. In Proverbs 23:7, we read, "What happens if the enemy," and that would be our flesh, "wins the present struggle?" Solomon writes, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Did you get that, my friend? As we think in our heart. Now, that is not the organ that pumps blood to the lungs to be oxygenated. Oh, no. This is our spiritual heart, the center of our spiritual intellect, and which is at the core of our being, is where it is located. And whatsoever it becomes and we think about, so are we. The battle rages daily within us and our will against God's will, our desire for what God desires for us. That no prisoners are taken, none released. Oh no, victory looks like total submission of our thoughts and our will. Our new creature inside of us wars against that old man. It is a spiritual struggle. No ICBMs or machine gun fired, just fiery darts from the enemy or man or Satan. A word against Satan in the struggle here. Now remember, Satan cannot be buffeting you and me at the same time. Oh no, he is not omnipresent like God. He gets blamed for a lot of things not of his own doing. Yes, he does. Back in the 1990s, Flip Wilson, a black comedian, made a lot of money and a lot of laughs saying that the devil made me do it. Well, that wrong thinking even continues over into the church today. Most Christians have no concept of spiritual matters, so they blame the most convenient, Satan or others. But no, my friend, that is not what James says. In James 2:13-15, James, the head of the church in Rome, writes, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away, now listen, of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So we see it is not Satan or somebody else or even his minions that cause us to sin. Oh no, it is ourself, our lust, which is housed in our old nature, that is still in us and very much alive, unless we live in Christ and push this old man, our old fleshly lustful nature, down into submission by walking in the Spirit of the Lord. Paul tells us in Galatians 5:10, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not," repeat, "not fulfill the lust of the flesh." It is not Satan who is our greatest enemy. Oh no. We are our greatest enemy. Did you know that we will never ever commit a sin that you have not thought about? Let me say that again. We will never ever commit a sin that we have not thought about. When we sin, you know, the sin starts in our mind. And we think on it and we mull it around in our mind. You know, the battlefield. And if not dealt with by God, then it will give rise to expression, and we act on that thought. And of course, sin is not the act as much as knowing what is right, but then doing wrong. Knowing, thinking, mulling around things that are not right in our thoughts, till they give rise to action. Now that is the definition of sin. You know, temptation is not, repeat, not a sin. But acting on the temptation by allowing the temptation a place in our mind, then in our heart, so that leads to action, well, that, my friend, also is sin. Okay, for all of those visual folks out there, as I said last week, let us go ahead and lay this out. You know, if you could take a pencil and draw a circle around that, new that new creature in 2 Corinthians 5:17 in Christ, or a circle around our present resurrection union with Christ, all that is inside this circle would be new. All that is inside of the circle would be from out of God in Christ. Inside of that circle would be the life, in the light, in the truth. It would be Christ and us, and all that constitutes that new birth. But outside of that circle, that would remain all that is old, all that is of our old nature, the natural man and the flesh and the lust. All of that would be outside of that circle, would be that which is from out of our old man and not of God. Now, hook this up with the statement of Jesus from John 3:6. It says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The conclusion is that flesh cannot birth anything that is of God. Let me say that again. Our flesh cannot birth anything that is of God. Flesh can only birth flesh. Even if what the flesh births is highly religious or looks holy, it is still only flesh. Only God can birth that which is of God. In short, only that which is from out of God is God and is of the Spirit. All that is from out of the natural man can only be from the natural man and common and can be flesh. Once we begin to understand this truth and realize that each believer has two natures, one within the circle of Christ and the other outside that circle, which is Adam, we should realize that only that circle which finds its source from Christ is of God. Anything that finds its source in the natural man is not of God. Only God can birth what is spiritual and of Christ. The rest, my friend, will pass away. But whosoever does the will of the Father abideth forever. Let me say that again. Whoever does the will of the Father abideth forever. So if Christ is in us, then all that is in us is of Him. And it's all out from God. And that is, He is our source. I hope, my friend, you are seeing this. If not, then how can you say you are saved by the work of Christ on the cross? How can you say you are a new creature in Christ Jesus if you do not understand what that means and how this all operates? Sadly, like most Christians today, they do not understand the nuts and bolts of salvation. Maybe that is why most Christians are religious but lost. Let me say that again. That's why most Christians are religious but lost. Full of theology, traditions of men, of self-help teaching, of all those guys like Joel Osteen and Mike Murdoch and Rick Warren and all those guys who teach God's wants us to have our best life now on earth. But no, my friend, our best life is yet to come. This life is all about learning how to live in the ages to come. And to do this, we must come to the knowledge that the source of all things for believers is Jesus Christ and Him alone. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting that you have a tremendous week and that the Lord is able to work in your life, and you just don't listen, but you take it in and you learn it, and you're growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my prayer for you, but it's also God's desire. We'll talk to you next week. God bless. Have a great week. Bye.